Okay, today is the first lesson for our new year, 2nd of January 2018, Tuesday class, at my house in SS2. Okay, let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sada, then virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansuin Pusa. Namo Guansuin Pusa. Namo Guansuin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa, Buddhang Bhagawantang.Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho.Sanghang Namami. Okay, there's a new offering by Yun Chan. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can turn to page 1. And we will chant the Vandana.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa BhagavatoArahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya MajapamadatanaViramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we are Chandapadipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarappa Dittena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. We are now chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Yeah, come in. Yeah. Hey, Brother Fang. Come. Yeah, join us. We continue. Huh? Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive with faithfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect, Triple Gem. Huh? Bedang Puchemi. Tamang Puchemi. Sanghang Puchemi. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Maintain some more attention. Then we will off the light so that you can have your meditation. Yeah? Meditation can be done in any posture. Yeah? You can sit, you sit if you can't because of age or bodily condition, then you can sit on a chair, huh? Or lean against a couch, or lie down on the floor. Huh? Whatever posture that can allow you to remain quiet, peaceful, to develop the meditation, you can use it. So the main focus of meditation is to develop the ability to relax your mind, silence your mind, and allow it to be. Yeah. So that this naturally relaxed state of silent inner awareness can be developed. Yeah. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who are still new, who need instruction, then I will give you some basic instruction. Yeah? After that, you can go back and read through the book. There are 3 or 4 books on meditation where the typical session, especially our Thursday class, yeah, or our Tuesday class, they are all in the transcript book. So you don't have to remember anything or take any note. You just listen attentively. Then after that, you go back, you read through those transcript books, you will understand. Then meditation can be developed quite easily. Okay. Now I will proceed with the instruction. For those who still need to train their mind, I will teach you a very simple technique. We call it mind sweeping method. Sweep your mind from your forehead down to your buttock, then reverse the whole thing. Apart from the mind sweeping method, in between, I will combine with loving kindness meditation or metta meditation, so that you not only train your mind to be quiet, peaceful with inner awareness, you can also at the same time bring about inner well-being to your own body and mind, so that your mind state can be elevated, to have this well-being. And this well-being can allow you to improve your immune system. Instead of carrying negative thought process, you now train your mind to be calm, to be peaceful, to have inner peace. Then the metta will help to bring about inner well-being. So inner peace leading to inner well-being is a very important mind state that you must develop. When you can develop inner peace, you will have a lot of calmness energy, a lot of positive energy that make your mind very calm, very peaceful, very still. Then the awareness can develop. And the mind that is silent, peaceful, and aware can meditate. Okay, now you just relax body and mind. Yeah? Completely relax. Don't hold on to anything. Just let the mind be. And feel yourself soothingly relaxed. Then make sure you have a stable posture. Then you are sitting. You make sure your backbone is straight. Relax, silent. Then close your eye. Maintain some form of attention at your forehead area. Just feel. No need to think. Just feel. When you feel, you can detect a lot of things because you are not thinking. the mind that you just feel is without thought. You feel. It's just like you feel the floor, hot or cold. When you silence your mind, you can feel very clearly. So you silence your mind to feel your forehead. If you can detect any vibration, any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it, then silently relax into it. Then you move on your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, then silently relax into every strain of your eye muscle. Feel your eye muscle soothingly relax, relax and relax. Then you continue to sweep down your facial muscle, each and every strain of your facial muscle. Feel it and relax into it. Feel them soothingly relax. Then in order to assist you further to relax naturally, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. And when you have joy, there is this calmness. There is this joy within your heart. And it will naturally relax your facial muscle. Then after that, you can radiate loving kindness or metta to yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel them, feel your body and mind. Be well and happy. Well and happy. May too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then you continue to read it. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May my mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then you can radiate the same metta to your loved one. May all my loved ones be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel that well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Then you can radiate this love towards your loved one. You can visualize them and radiate this metaphors to them. Then may my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings within this vicinity of SS2, including all Kayanamitas, all fellow cultivator, meditator, Dharma friends. May all beings within this vicinity of SS2, together all Kayanamitas, Dharma friends, may they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May their mind states too be without any mental or physical suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then we can extend this love or metta to all beings. May all beings within the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then our Mother Earth, planet Earth. Then we extend to all beings within the entire solar system, the galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe or existence. May they all too be well and happy, May they all too be free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just feel your facial muscle again. Relax each and every strand of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. With this inner peace and inner well-being, you can continue with the mind sweeping method. Now you move your attention from your facial muscle down to your neck. Feel, relax. Then shoulder, feel, relax. Then back to shoulder, hand, feel, relax. Then feel your heart area. When you can feel your heart area, you just silence everything. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there, silence everything, don't do anything. But if you are new, you are not sensitive, you have not developed the ability to be mindful, then you can just feel your heart area. Like you feel your forehead, just feel. Then relax each and every muscle within the heart area. Feel your heart area soothingly relax. Then you can continue with your mind sweeping method. You can come back to your heart area, feel, relax. Then move it down to your stomach. Again, feel, relax. Then move your attention down to your abdomen, silence everything and feel. You can detect any movement, you just stay there. Some of you who have done the rising and falling of the abdomen type of meditative training, you can detect it without doing anything. You only need to silence your mind and just feel. And when you are capable of developing the silent mind that detects the rising and falling, got no words, it will be aware naturally. The rising and falling of the abdomen will come to you. Your awareness will pick it up. And when you continue to silently be aware of what is going on, your mind will become very mindful, very peaceful and very calm. Then just relax into every mind state that arises. Then you continue to sweep it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method backward. Feel your buttock, relax. Feel your leg, relax. Then feel your abdomen, silence everything and relax. Then you feel your stomach, do the same, then relax. Then you move it to your chest area, feel and silence everything and relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, feel, relax every part of it. Then move it up to your facial muscle. Feel relaxed. Then you move it up to your eye muscle. Maintain attention. Feel relaxed. Then your forehead. Do the same. Feel relaxed. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. So the next step is to stabilize the calmness. The mind that has been trained not to think is very peaceful, is very calm. You just silence everything and just feel, don't think. Then in order to stabilize this silent mind or peaceful mind that you have trained, you need an object of meditation. And the most neutral and useful object of meditation is the breath, the breathing. The Buddha called it anapanasati. This is a very neutral object of meditation, suitable for most people, whatever your personality is. And the breath is always with you in the present moment. So you just silence everything. Like you feel your forehead instead of feeling your forehead. Now you maintain silent awareness in front of your nostril to detect your breathing. Then like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. This ability to be aware is called mindfulness of the in and out breath. There is no thought. It's just the awareness and the breath move as one without thought, in perfect harmony and synchrony. So you just train your mind in that way. Every time the mind wanders off, just bring it back to the nostril. Feel the breathing until you detect it. Then whenever you detect the breathing, you allow the mindfulness to move. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Without the words. Just the awareness and the breath move. Then always remember, if you are new, you have to be patient. You will come to realize that your mind thinks a lot. That's why you cannot maintain mindfulness of the in and out breath. Split second, very fast. The mind wanders off and think, and get itself involved with mental activity, mental states, verbalization, chattering, then the heedless thinking. You like get lost in thought, heedlessly lost in thought. So every time when you are aware that you are no longer doing the anapanasati, you just patiently bring it back. No need to develop any aversion or dislike. Just tell yourself, the untrained mind think a lot. The untrained mind is heedless, so I need to train. So maintain this style of exercise for a while. The mind will settle down and this anapanasati will develop. Then you will experience a type of peacefulness within. And when this peacefulness stabilizes, when your mindfulness stabilizes, you will experience a type of joy, they call it piti, spiritual calmness or spiritual rapture or joy that arises to a mind that has been trained to be in the state of mindfulness or awareness. Then when this thing happens, you will like to meditate because you will experience that meditative calmness, meditative peacefulness, or rapture, a very calm mind. Then you continue to relax into it and silence everything. Then this piti will transform further to become sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. It is a type of blissfulness that arises when the mind is really relaxed and just aware. Then as the sukha develops, the intense blissfulness arises, you continue to relax into it and just let things be. Then not long, your mind will settle down and become very quiet, very peaceful and very still. That state is called the silent mind or opacity, the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. So all of meditation is to train your mind to have this ability to be aware, silent, still, without thought. And this is the true mind, the meditative mind. When there is no thought, this state will arise. When you are just aware, silent, without any movement, opacity will arise, tranquility will arise, stillness of mind will arise. And this is the meditative state. Then you use it to meditate. Okay, I will stop the instruction. You can develop your meditation accordingly. Then I will ring the bell when it's about 9 o'clock. verses do you want to meditate? You can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peace, inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Just relax body and mind completely. Then be aware of all your movement and activity. Yeah. Who could it be? Somebody new. Could it be your friend, Dr. Uy? No, she's not coming. Yeah, then no problem. It must be somebody new. Otherwise, they will know the lock is not locked. Okay. We will continue with the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. The chanting book. You can get this too. Pass to Pang one. And the wife another one. Turn to page 6. Jin Hao, thank you. Just on the light here. Thank you. And the far end one also. Okay. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Lily, come. Sadhu. Yeah. Can have a seat. Yeah, you can sit anywhere. We just finished our meditation. Can, no problem. Okay, now we will chant the Pali together. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuto vijacarana panno sugato lokavidu anutaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho สามีจิปาทิปันโนบะกะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะดิดังจัตตาริปุริสโยกานิอัตตาปุริสปุกาลาเอสะบะกะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดะกิเนโยอัญจะไลกะรณิโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกัสสาทิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Badang Pujami Damang Pujami Sanghang Pujami Okay. Now you can be seated. Before we start our second session, which is the Dhamma session, I'd like to maybe introduce a few people who just came in. Sister Lily, she is Sister Lily. She has been Kayamita for quite a while, but she seldom come to the class. So today she is here after a while. So we'd like to invite her and rejoice with the wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also today we have Brother Pang. He is very good. Quite a while already and the wife. Oh, you can't hear. Oh, I think you're hearing. Yeah, you're hearing. It's okay, don't worry. You go back and listen to the recording. Yes, yes. Go. No problem. If not, you can maybe get a chair. Is there any chair? You can sit there. Yeah. Oh, look how it's jibbing. You can sit at the place at the back there. No problem. Oh, no need. And you sit. Can. You can have it. Yeah, you can have it. Yeah. You can have it. You can sit at the back. Oh, and you don't need to come down. You can sit. My wife at the back got a chair for her. Oh, and you want to let her sit your place? Okay. Lily. Yeah, you sit there. Because for your leg problem. Then just now I was introducing Brother Pang. He used to attend the Thursday class and he's very good. He picked up a lot of the understanding. Then he used to join our retreat too. So he's helping out at HGBA and do a lot with the wife. Sadhu. I didn't get your name. Oh, Angie. Now I remember. Sorry, Angie. Yeah. So we'd like to welcome Brother Pang and Angie too. I also didn't know they are coming. So it's a pleasant surprise. Sadhu. So the Tuesday class format, we decided to go to the book by Narada, the Buddha and his teaching. And this is good for most Kayamita who are new to the Buddhist teaching. And even those who have already been with us for quite a while. But most of them, I realize, they don't really understand the Buddha's teaching in the way it's recorded in the Theravada tradition, especially the life of the Buddha. So if you don't know the Jataka story regarding the life of the Buddha, it may not be easy for you to comprehend a lot of the teaching when you hear about it or you read through it. Off and on, the teaching will involve some of this story from the life of the Buddha. And his teaching is full of those people whom he benefited, who came to him. Then he has like what we have gone through. He has touched the heart of many living beings, including kings, dignitaries, and ascetic. Of course, a lot of them are spiritually inclined people. So today we are at lesson 12, page 205. You have the book, you can turn to that book. You don't have, you don't worry. We will read it out to you, then you can follow. Tonight is Sister Hui Rong. She will be the... Oh, okay, Sesini. Oh, Hui Rong. Okay. Is your spelling of your name correct? David, Cho. R 还是 L? 哦，你的 email 的，怪不得，不是这个。
很少人会念。
哦，来，我 pass the mic 给你，来坐这边，我坐那边。今天是，不用啦，今天是有的秀，来，佛菩萨在后面啊。哦，好啊。
Maybe let me introduce Sister Hui Rong first. Some of you may not know her. She is a Taiwanese, real original McCoy from Taiwan, but married to a Malaysian. She has, since the early years, I think easily 9 or 10 years ago, came to my class at Chempaka Buddhist Lodge Saturday. Then later, after a few years, we shifted to the house. So she is here until now. Then she is also one of the very important key person who helped record all this recording. Your Thursday recording come from her, mainly from her. Oh, sorry, Tuesday. Yeah, thanks for correcting me. Then she is also very helpful in many areas. There was one spiritual trip, I remember, we went to Taiwan. She was the one instrumental for planning our program schedule. Then the whole trip turned out to be so beautiful. And we learned so much about Taiwan. Taiwan was a very unique country. A lot of... a lot of Buddhists. Tradition started from Taiwan. The three great traditions, together with the one we discovered when we were there, the four great traditions of Buddhism. First one was, you all know, Fa Ku San, the late Sun Yen Fa Si. Then we have the Ci Ji one is Sun Yen Fa Si. Zhen Yan. Fa Ku San is Sun Yan. Oh, sorry. Again, I got it mixed up. The third one is singing Fa Si. They call it Fo Guang. Fo Guang San. Then there is one very famous also, Zhong Tai Chan Si. I forgot the abbot's name. The abbot should be 100 years old by now. When we went there, he is already 95 or 97, I forgot. So we are indeed very fortunate to have Hui Rong. She mainly speak Mandarin because her English not so good. So I let her choose what she wants to use as language to share. If she use Mandarin, I will help to translate whatever I can. Now we pass the mic to Hui Rong. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.
谢谢 Brother Dew 还有 Mrs. Dew 还有所有的卡亚纳米塔，我一定是讲中文的。不过我刚刚突然有一个想法，我觉得今天是2018年的第一次上课，那我很荣幸可以跟大家一起分享12章佛陀的教化。可是在这之前，我觉得 我应该要 ask for forgiveness。 因为哦，我在这边讲了快要十年的华语了。
Yeah,
那我知道其实在座有很多人其实是听不懂我在讲什么。
Yeah.
那他们忍受了将近十年，所以我觉得我必须在所有伽耶那弥陀之前、面前 ask for forgiveness。
Yeah.
希望，我觉得可能这辈子有点困难，我希望以后语言不是问题了。
Yeah.
这是我很希望我自己的一个 request， 然后我也在大家面前请求大家能够原谅我。
no problem， 一定会。
为什么我会想到这个？因为我突然想到，诶，我们都知道那个玄奘，对不对？
Yeah, yeah.
玄奘是从中国去印度取经。
Yeah, correct.
诶，怎么他可以办得到呢？
Yeah.
啊，他又不像我们现在有学英文，我还有学英文呢。可是他怎么可以办得到？怎么他办得到，我办不到？
Yeah.
所以我才会想到我应该要 ask for forgiveness， 因为是我自己的问题。好，我们就来看这一章哦。其实这一章里面有很多的故事，因为其实这一章
，Yeah, very good.
其实这一章就是在讲佛陀在35岁 enlightenment 之后，
yeah.
的前面20年的教化。那前面这20年，其实他比较没有固定的居住的地方，他在20年以后，他就比较固定在那个奇缘，
yeah.
那个叫什么？
萨瓦蒂，萨瓦蒂，
对对对对，
萨瓦蒂，
中文叫做奇缘。
Yeah.
可是，在前面20年，他是搬家搬来搬去，可以这样说。
Yeah.
所以这一章的整个架构是按照他每一年每一年这样子搬家，然后之间发生的很多，其实虽然是故事，可是其实都有它的意义存在。那在还没开始进到第一年之前哈，这边要，其实我想这在座大家都应该很了解所谓的结下安居，就是瓦萨。
呀，瓦萨。
哎，可是对我来讲哈，我在来 Brother 六上课这边之前，我不知道什么叫瓦萨。
Yeah.
因为我从小接触的都是北传的佛教。
对。
那北传的佛教其实因为地理因素的关系，它是比较没有强调结下安居瓦萨的。
Yeah.
那为什么会有结下安居呢？因为佛陀所在的地方是印度，那印度其实它基本上分成三个季节。雨季，热的季节还有冷的季节。那雨季哈，我觉得马来西亚的人应该有可以稍微想象一下雨季，可是它的那个雨季比马来西亚的雨季还要严重很多，
严重很多。
而且它可以像现在以前的佛陀那个时候是大概7月中到11月中，大概有4个月，那个下雨不是下毛毛雨这样子而已，而是很可怕的下雨。
Yeah.
那在这个像到现在的印度，它还是有所谓的雨季，不过它大概就是6月中到9月，有一点点的不同，因为气候在变迁。那在这个雨季的时候，其实结下安居，我觉得它有两个意义。第一个是因为雨季，然后有很在佛陀那个时代，他其实每一个很多的出家人其实都是散居在森林里面修行，有的都是各自修行。那在这个雨季的时候，其实大家会碰到一些生活上的一些麻烦，那为了这些出家人的安全，所以佛陀认为这是一个很好的自修的好时段。因为外面在下大雨，你不可能再出去外面讲法啦，或者是托钵，所以基于 僧众们的安全，所以他把这三个月当作是结下安居，就是聚集了所有在森林里面的出家众，然后一起来修习佛法，一起讨论。因为当你在自己修行的时候，一定会碰到一些问题的。那我认为很盲目的只是一个人在修行，不见得是一个很好的方法。所以我认为这是一个很好的，而且是很重要的一个制度哦。所以虽然到现在，我相信只有南传的是有所谓的结下安居。那结下安居是第一个意义，我刚刚说的是为了僧众们的安全，一方面是可以大家借这个机会互相讨论，然后所以把它聚集起来，大家通通聚集，僧众们通通，本来一开始是只有僧众们聚集在一起跟佛陀一起修行，可是到后来其实变成很多不是出家众，他也会借这个机会来，因为僧众们在修行上课，那不是出家众其实也是可以参与的，所以变成是一段很好的进修的时间。而且这段期间他们就不出去托钵，然后由在家众来无佛，那其实这是一个很好的练习。那第二个意义其实就是在这段雨季哦，其实雨季对印度来讲其实是一个，我不知道大家怎么觉得，以前我会认为那是一件很可怕的事，因为那个雨季哦可能会让很多人失去生命，尤其是去年的孟买吧的那个雨季死了很多人。
对，
可是其实我上网查了一下，他们叫做蛮顺
呀，蛮顺，
如果没有这个蛮顺，其实他们其实是活不下去的哦。因为蛮顺这三个月的雨带来印度所需要的80%的水量，所以如果没有蛮顺，他们其实一天到晚在祷告蛮顺能够能够准时到来。所以如果没有这个蛮顺的话，其实对他们的生活，因为80%的雨水如果就此没有了，其实他们是生存不下去的。所以其实这个蛮顺对印度人来讲不是那么的负面，是我们看他们觉得好怎么样。其实就我上网去查，我觉得他们其实是非常在这个蛮顺的季节，他们是非常喜悦的。而且在这个季节啊，很多的生物，比方说动物啊植物啊，都在这个时候去很繁密的出来行动，所以佛陀为了让佛陀因为慈悲，他不愿意出家人在外出的时候去伤害到这些生命，所以他们就说这段期间不要出去，一方面保护自己，一方面也保护这些动物或植物。所以他其实是有非常慈悲的意识在里面。但我刚刚讲了，我其实不是很我其实是这十年才知道有所谓的结下安居。可是其实你知道吗，其实北传的很多像禅宗啊华严宗，它其实是有结冬安居的。不知道大家有没有听过，因为印度有这个雨季，可是对中国传这个佛教传到中国之后，其实中国没有雨季啊，就那个时段。所以如果说我硬要这样子套下去说我这段时间我也要结下安居，觉得好像有点勉强。所以后来很多北传的佛教就把它改成是结冬安居，因为我们知道尤其是中国的北方有很多时候，尤其是冬天的时候，其实是不能够出门的。所以他们就把它改良一下，变成是节冬安居。那节冬安居大概都是大概11月到1月这段时间，可是其实它的意义是一样的。那 这一章从第一年的结下安居开始讲起哦。
Yeah.
第一年的话，我们其实第一年这个我相信每个人都知道，就是佛陀初转法轮的这一年。
嗯，
他在鹿野苑跟以前跟他一起所谓苦修的那五位弟子宣说了四圣谛 Four Noble Truths、嗯、还有告诉他们其实是不需要一定用苦行的方法，而是应该要用中道的方法来修行，不一定要用苦行的方法。那其实那时候Four Noble Truths 或者中道也就是我们后来讲的八正道，其实都是在这个第一年跟佛陀跟弟子所解说的。那我就不解释什么叫做 Four Noble Truths 或者是八正道了。这是他的第一个语记哦，在这个地方叫 Benares 的 Deer Park。
Yeah, Deer Park、啊、
就是我们讲的鹿野苑。
Yeah, 鹿野苑，
如果你有去过印度朝圣的话，应该都去过这个地方。
yeah, yeah.、啊、
这个是他的第一个雨季、啊、那第二个雨季呢，他就搬到 Rajagaha、
啊、
就是第二第三第四年都是待在这个地方、
嗯、
我觉得其实我刚开始看了，我觉得哎呦，这些地方其实我都不认识，这些人名我也都记不得，所以我记得的都是这一年所发生的事情，所以各位要容忍一下我的那个地名跟人名的讲得很不好哦。所以第二、第三年、第四年就在王舍城，中文叫王舍城。然后第五年呢？他就搬到瓦沙利、
嗯、
那瓦沙利的话，他第一件事就是 King Suddhodana、
Suddhodana、
啊、他在刚好 King Suddhodana 要过世前七天、
yeah.
他来到他的病床前跟他开示，这其实是很不简单的一件事，他是要很大的 merit 才能够这样、
yeah, yeah, yeah.
我常常在想，如果可以这样子，哇！不过还是靠自己比较重要了哈。所以他在过世前七天，菩萨来到他的病床前面跟他开示，所以他就当下就证得了阿罗汉的
证果
啊的证果，然后享受了七天的解脱的
bliss of emancipation，
然后他就过世了。
巴厘尼巴呢？
对，那。在这个之后呢，其实有一件事是比较重要的，就是佛陀在他出生不久他的母亲就过世了、
yeah.
那他是由他的姨母马哈帕加帕提果丹果大蜜啊果大蜜，我们就叫果大蜜啊、
yeah.
他其实三度要求，因为在那个时代男尊女卑的时代，是女生是不准出家的，那只有所谓的比库，没有所谓的比库尼哦。那可是那时候他三度要求布达，希望布达可以让他剃度出家，可是佛陀拒绝了他三次。这个我想有很多的原因，那。到最后其实是阿南达帮他说情之后说因为他对你也是有养育之恩，然后种种的，然后后来布达才同意的。可是如果你上网去 search 这一段的话，其实就不会只是像我们的课本讲的那么简单，因为其实这中间是经过了非常多的人的反对，尤其是在那个时代是非常男尊女卑。那我在看这一段的时候，我会觉得说，哎呀，反正现在这个时代是男女平等的， 这好像不怎么样。可是哦，我再仔细去想一下哦，其实当你在你接触很多佛教的经典的时候，你会发现，当女生好像是很罪过的一件事情。比方说哈、哦，我以前去净宗学会，就是阿弥达巴的 Pure Land 的 Society， 他们都不叫师姐哦。他们都叫我们师兄。
Yeah.
那我觉得很奇怪，因为他们的说法是在 Pure Land 是只有男的没有女的。
Yeah.
可是我那时候会说那是你讲的。因为我认为在 Pure Land 是没有性别，不是只有男的。
Yeah. Yeah.
因为当你没有这个肉身之后哪有性别，那你怎么可以说全部都是男的。所以我觉得那只是一个代称。那后来我有读过地藏本愿经、哦、它甚至其中有一段是，如果你是一个女的，你可以，如果你厌恶自己的身体，你可以 ask 地藏菩萨让你、啊、就反正就是你可以求忏悔，然后献花献果，然后你可以永保你下辈子不会再当女的、
yeah.
可以变男的。
yeah, yeah. 有这样的地境、yeah.
那我会觉得当女的也不错啊。为什么
对
为什么一定要当男的、
yeah.
那时候我会觉得哎呀当女的也不错啦、
yeah.
只是越来越接受，觉得哎，难道这真的只是因为那一个时代男尊女卑的结果吗？我其实跟我老公讨论这件事，我问过他说，你觉得女生要修行很困难吗？我也想问大家这个问题、
yeah.
你觉得男生跟女生修行有没有很大的差别、
yeah.
可是在我问大家之前哦，你有没有想过说，这世界上所有的宗教，所有的比较重要的人物怎么都是男的、哦、好像几乎都是男的哦。
嗯。
哦，所以难道这些经典讲的都是真的吗？不过我后来觉得哎呀，反正我已经是女的，不能改变，我就要接受，我就是精进修行就是了，想那么多男的女的干什么？我也没有想过下辈子要当男的或女的。
Yeah.
那可是我觉得这好像是我一厢情愿的想法。我想问问大家，你觉得？而且哦，你会发现哦，上佛法课几乎都是女的比较多、哦。你看这边只有一个、两个、三个、四个，今天还特别多一点哈、哦。上佛法课几乎都女的比较多啊，可是为什么女生反而好像没有什么什么很大的进步、哦？
Yeah.
我的老公说，因为女生很情绪化。我说那是我，不是别人。那我想问问大家，你觉得女生的修行跟男生的修行？有差别吗？
Okay.
是不是真的像经典上讲的、哦、你要怎么样怎么样你才可以变男的、啊、变男的之后你才可以 enlightenment。 我觉得大家会觉得哎呀男女平等，可是布达拉或者是这些所谓的 enlightenment 的人、
yeah.
没有理由讲出这么不平等的话。还有我在查这一段的时候，其实有一个名词非常重要。当我不知道这个东西是所谓真的假的，有在实行，就是所谓的八敬法。八敬法叫做阿达嘎鲁达玛，帕德丢，你有听过吗？八敬法，八敬法就大家的就是网上的说法。是佛陀当初提出了八个要求，你要做得到，你才女的啊，就是你要 女众要出家的话，你一定要做到这八点，否则的话不行，不能出家。好，这八个我讲出来给你们听听看。哎，不知道大家有没有听过八敬法？有吗？没有啊，
没有没有。
有，而且曾经台湾有一个比丘尼在前几年前，甚至还发起一个运动去废止八敬法，掀起了很大的波澜。八敬法是哪八个？第一个，这个是当这个谁？当这个果达咪要求的时候，佛陀所提出来的八敬法，第一个。如果你是比丘尼，就算你已经修行一百年了，可是如果你遇到一个比丘，他是刚ordain的，他是一个菜鸟，你也要对他礼拜。好，你如果已经修行一百年，你还要对这个菜鸟礼拜哦。第一条，第二个，当结下安居的时候。比丘你不可以在附近没有比丘的地方结下安居，这可能是基于安全理由啦。哦，好，第三个，每半个月哦，比丘你都要去跟比丘 request， 比丘来跟他们说法，不是比丘你去跟比丘说法，一定是比丘来跟比丘你说法哦。哈，第四个，你结下安居结束的时候啊，你比丘你要跟比丘 ask forgiveness， 要在比丘面前忏悔，比丘不用哦，比丘你要好哇。第五点，比丘可以骂比丘你，比丘你不可以骂比丘，不可以讲比丘的不是，比丘可以讲比丘你哦，哇。我老公听到这个很高兴。第五个，也是一样，比丘尼不可以骂比丘，不可以骂。刚刚是不可以讲比丘的过错，哈。然后，第七个，比丘尼必须在比丘面前受戒，啊，就是比丘尼在受戒的时候，一定是要在比丘面前。然后第八个。如果比丘尼犯了错，也是要在比丘面前求忏悔就是了。所以种种你会发现，比丘尼都要听比丘的就是了。所以这个东西，我觉得不可能实施哦。你们觉得呢？虽然我是以现代的想法，
yeah,
可是我觉得这个是有可能做得到吗？所以哦，我那时候就在想，要么第一个可能就是，的确女生修行上就是不如男生，这是事实；第二个可能就是，这个是后来的人，不是后来的人，就是当初反对比丘尼。出家的比较保守的比丘讲的，其实这个不是我讲的哦，因为应顺导师在一本佛教的经典里面曾经提到这个观点，他认为布达是不可能做这件事，因为等一下我们后面会讲到，布达不可能在还没做之前就说。就把所有的戒律通通定好，说一二三四五六七你不可以做什么。等一下我们会讲到那个东西哈，这是不可能的，因为其实布达是布达是随缘成智，随犯自戒。
Yeah,
随缘啊，对，他不会说还没有发生。他就说第一点不可以怎么样，第二点不可以怎样，他一定是会要等到那个事情发生了之后，他才会制定那个，所以他怎么可能会制定这个东西说哦，你要同意你才可以出家，对不对？好，所以 如果是这样的话，那就无所谓了，对不对？我不知道大家的想法是怎样，因为我是站在女生的立场。清浩，你觉得呢？当然你不敢在大家面前说女生是跟男生不一样的，可是你认为在修行上女生是不是真的比男生吃亏很多？
Yeah, in that sense.
我不要说你歧视女生啦齁。
Later on I will discuss this. Then I will also help to explain all this. Hui Rong has a very good point regarding why the Buddha refused initially to allow the Bhikkhuni order to be recognized. Then later on the persuasion of Ananda, Venerable Ananda, he finally agreed with 8 conditions. The 8 conditions are mentioned on chapter 9. We went through, but like Hui Rong mentioned, they go and make it into a sutta, 八个什么？
八
净法，
中文叫八净法。
It's a dhamma. But according to her, according to Master Yin Sun in one of the book that he wrote, he don't believe that this is what the Buddha will do, lay down all these things. Because like what Hui Rong came to understand too, the Buddha just accord and flow.Then when condition arise, only he introduced the rules. Like the precept for bhikkhu, a lot came later when things start to happen. Then there's a lot of reason why Yin Sun Fasa is quite skeptical about those 8 conditions. According to him, he said not likely he could have decided that. But it's not important because it's recorded.In the Theravada Sutta, and after I will explain why. Very likely, according to what I understand from my nature, maybe I explain now before I forget. You see, during the time of India, it was like a tradition that the male take a dominant role in many things, and.It is their tradition at that time that the wife, even in the Jataka story earlier chapter, you realize there was one lady, Visakha. She was subject to a lot of tradition and pressure. Until, because she was so virtuous and she was such a great lady, she was already enlightened and people don't know. And he has his perfection, his virtue. That's why his parami is fantastic. The wedding gown, when she auctioned out, nobody can auction. She auctioned herself. Then with all the money, because she was from a very wealthy family, she decided to do something for the sasana. And she asked the Buddha what is most appropriate. And the Buddha suggested you build on that place, somewhere in front, I think, a monastery and...It will be very useful because at that time the monk, when they go through the Vasa, they don't have a proper place. So the Buddha knew this lady Visakha, if I'm wrong, I think Visakha, she has the parami. And she really built the temple. And the Buddha held continuously, don't know how many years of Vasa there. And because of that, you look at the tradition at that time.The Buddha also dare not interfere with all this. It will lead to repercussion and many problems. So the very likely reason is, even if he introduced this rule, is to appease the tradition at that time so that people understand. And I do agree with what Hui Rong said. She keep on asking the question, what do you think? Does it mean that the men are better cultivators?Ladies are not so good. Actually, you know, the form is just the form. You are not the form. The form is karmically conditioned, yes. It has its DNA coding. And ladies are usually people with more emotion. More emotion. But this is your DNA coding. and they have to bear birth of their child and all those things. Let me have a look. Oh, wait, I answered this. Oh, never mind. Already. You see, a lot of things, there are causes and conditions behind their arising. So for this particular case, the Buddha also knew male and female is just the form. It does not define who you are. Your consciousness, your spiritual nature is different. But you are born a lady is because of karmic. Karmic. You have to go through those emotions. It is mainly because of your karmic. So indirectly, most people would believe that you are born a male. You stand a better chance in salvation. But nowadays, the reverse. Because the era has changed. If you are not a female with all the emotion and get yourself entangled, you won't turn towards Dhamma. Do you understand? So the way I perceive it is slightly different. Because sometimes if you are born a male, you don't have so much emotion, more authoritative. But then, to me, it's your understanding of life. You don't have the Dhamma, the heedlessness will make you worse, Anasana. You become very, very aggressive, very violent, and you don't have any real feeling for the world. You are not like a lady who has feeling for their child. And they are more emotional in that sense because of the DNA. That's why you realize lady cry a lot. When lady cry, the man also melt. Cannot become aggressive anymore. But it depends on the condition. It depends on how you cry. If you don't know how to cry, you cannot whack more. But if you are the one that can really touch your spouse's heart, the moment you start to cry, I tell you, they will soften, they will turn and say, okay, don't worry. I think it's okay, you can go ahead. So, it is how you look at it. But basically, the form and mind, which is the physical part and the consciousness trapped inside, doesn't define who you are. The male and the female is just the form. But the DNA part, karmically conditioned, that one has an impact, has a bearing. So that's how I understand it. Then some of the rules that the Buddha want to impose, the main reason is the Buddha knew the sasana will be shortened by 500 years if he allowed the bhikkhuni order to take place. And that 500 years of sasana means the Buddha's teaching, if it's shortened, it is a very, very big impact on civilization. So the Buddha has to weigh all this. That's why initially, first three times, he refused to accept. Then do you know what happened? All the lady from a few cities, Vasali, Savati, and all this area, together with Mahapajapati, Gotami, they decide to follow the Buddha and appeal. Walk all the way from, I forgot where to where already, quite far. Then when they reach there, they still appeal. Then Ananda help out by reasoning with the Buddha. Then the Buddha finally say, I can only agree if they accept this eight conditions. So straight away, Mahapajapati Gotami, without hesitation, accept. He said, I just want the bhikkhuni order to be developed. So the second most important reason could be this condition was introduced by the Buddha is to mitigate the 500 years of sasana that will be shortened. Do you understand? If you don't have this rule, do you know what can happen or not? When you have equal right, you fight, you argue. Then if you don't have such thing as the bhikkhuni cannot reprimand or admonish a bhikkhu, but the bhikkhu can do the other way around. You know, when lady become fierce, especially they are not married, I tell you, you don't stand a chance. So I think could be these are the reason why it has to be the other way around. But some of the bhikkhu who are not sincere cultivator, they can take advantage of this rule. Do you understand? They make mistake, they don't care. He said, your bhikkhuni rules or order doesn't permit you to admonish me. Who are you? You are a bhikkhuni. Even 100 years or so, you have to bow to them. higher ordination. So these are to prevent arrogant, to prevent the condition for the 500 years of sasana to be shortened. So through all this, I believe it could be the Buddha's way of trying to mitigate some of all this possibility. So that's how I understand it. It could be any other reason. But my nature actually reflect on it earlier on, because my nature also don't agree that women are lesser gender to practice. No, there are ladies who are very good, I tell you. And you cannot just discriminate based on the physical, the form. It's your consciousness, your parami, your cultivation from the past, and how you can develop the understanding. So it's not so much of your physical. But society's behavioral science and pattern is such, if you don't have such rules, when the bhikkhuni order is being admitted, I also can feel how it can be very disruptive. A lot of things can happen. So these are what is recorded in the sutta. So let's not get so deeply concerned about all this. These are nothing to do with practice. Understand? It brings about division. Then the lady will try to defend bhikkhuni order. Then the man will try to maybe reason why the Buddha did that. Then they think they are more superior. So the ego, everything will start to manifest. So to me, not important. As long as we understand there are reasons for it, then we just let things be. And you can come up with your own understanding later on as you progress along the path of cultivation and meditation. Okay, good. Continue. You've done well.
第六年就搬到 Makula Hill in Kosambi。这一年呢，布达显现了他两次神通，为了要让外道的信徒去信服他，他选择用这个方法。
Yeah, the twin miracle.
然后第七年，他到那个塔瓦迪
萨
heaven 去讲解阿毗达巴给他的母亲 Queen Mahamaya。 那其实他在去那边讲解的时候，他回来之后他又把他讲给 Shariputra 听。所以其实 Shariputra 就把这一部阿毗达达妈给再传下去。那第八年他就在那个森林里面，这个我觉得就不用管他的名字。
不用紧。
第九年的话呢，他到了口山壁，这个时候呢，他在这个时候遇到了一个那个叫做
马甘迪。
马甘，他的父母其实认为他的女儿非常的棒，他不舍得把她嫁出去。可是呢，有一天，当他的父母看到布达，他觉得他的气质非常的特别，尤其是他的妈妈，从他的脚步，他觉得布达不是一个
凡人，
对，所以他们决定要把女儿介绍给他。 可是布达就拒绝了，反而布达其实看得出来他们的善根，所以他布达就跟他的父母讲了如何战胜这种人的七情六欲的这些问题哦。那他甚至那时候他在拒绝的时候，被他的女儿知道，他的女儿其实非常的生气，他觉得说你不要娶我就算了，你还把我比喻做很不好听的东西，所以他其实很怀恨在心。那他怀恨在心之后，他就决定他一定要嫁一个比他更好、比布达更好的国王。那他的确后来变成一个王后，然后他想尽办法散播谣言，收买人心，去毁谤布达。那在毁谤的过程中，阿南达很受不了，他觉得怎么可以这样子讲布达，没有这一回事啊，我们应该搬离这个地方。那布达其实我觉得布达真的是一个很有 wisdom 的人，他告诉阿南达，那我们应该要搬去哪里。那阿南达就说，我们搬去另外一个都市。那他说，那如果那个都市也在骂我呢？然后阿南达说，那再搬啊。他说，那你永远在逃避问题而已。那所以布达那时候就告诉阿南达所谓的安忍，也就是说这些事情如果它不是一个事实的话，其实过一阵子它就会过去了，你不需要一味的逃避它。如果它不是一个事实的话，这个我觉得其实是一个非常非常可贵的一个怎么讲，尤其对比方说像我很急性子，我觉得我常常不能在很理智的情况之下去做出最正确的，因为我不懂得安忍。那你我曾经试过，如果在你很冲动的时候你就会做出很不智的决定。可是如果我那个当下如果忍下来，然后你会发现过一阵子就没事了。甚至如果说我常常有一个疑问，如果有一个疑问在我的心里，我在那边找遍了答案，我就是找不到的那个当下，我后来学到了把它放在旁边，然后有一天不是有一天，很快的，当你塞扔下来之后，答案就会跑出来了。这个就是所谓的安忍，所以它是一个非常可贵的方式。我不知道大家的脾气怎么样，可能你不是很急性的话，你就不会体会到这个的重要。可是像我很急性，我就会觉得这个对我很重要。所以布达告诉阿南达说，你一味的逃避，搬来搬去，人家还是在骂你，那你在这个时候如果你选择安忍下来，几天过去就会没事了。所以果真几天过去就没事了。但不过书上是写说布达遇到的困难不会超过七天，我倒不觉得这是重点。我认为是说不止布达，我们一般人当你遇到困难的时候，当你很虚心接受，然后虽然错误不一定在你，问题的症结点不一定在你身上，可是当你那个当下是安忍下来之后，当然不是一味的压抑啦哈。当你在很沉淀下来之后，你会发现这个东西很快就可以过去的。那你过去之后，你就会认为它也没有怎么样。
Okay, very good. 慧蓉。You stop here, you continue next Tuesday, where I need to translate a bit. Otherwise, they don't know what you are sharing, especially PG. Anyway, we rejoice with Hui Rong's good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, 谢谢你。来，现在我要翻译一点，其他的你 continue. Very good.Okay.
for the sake of some Kanyanamita who might know, I'm sorry, who might not be that fluent with Mandarin, you will find it not easy to understand what has been shared. But I will translate a bit, then I will go through with you. I think I still got about half an hour, should be enough. So she started off by saying, since the last 10 years or so, with the Dhamma, she realized where she is from, Taiwan, Mandarin speaking. Her main language is Mandarin. So all this while he was with us in this class, every time she asked questions, she will use Mandarin. Then I will try to answer her with Mandarin mixed with English so that other people can understand. I will also translate her question. So Q&A is easy. But this time around, it's the whole sharing of chapter 12. So not easy. She would like to ask for forgiveness from all over these years for what she has to maybe use Mandarin for a good reason. So she sincerely asked for forgiveness from all. Then I said, no problem. They all understand. They will forgive you. But they also appreciate because the way she asked is very interesting. During the early day especially, most of the time, any question, nobody put up their hand. Then I was at times, I can sense that she got questioned. I said, Hui Rong, what about you? Oh, then she take the mic, everything come out. So that was the good thing. Then we got a lot of good sharing. If you listen to the earlier recording from her question. Then after that, she said, we shall start this chapter 12 proper. This chapter 12 is a very unique chapter. It talks about the Buddha's ministry. Ministry means his teaching, how he spent the 45 years after his enlightenment at the age of 35 until he parinibbana at the age of 80. So this 45 years, how he spent his time and go around teaching all walk of life, people from all walk of life. Then the first 20 years was like a nomadic life. He didn't really stay put at the same place. He moved around many places. Until the last 25 years, he decided to stay put at around Savatthi area. Yeah. Then she talked about the Vasa. You know what is Vasa? Vasa are the rains retreat. So in India, the weather are very harsh during the rains retreat. That is during the month of July to end of, I think, beginning of November or end of October. They call it the rains retreat, where there will be very severe monsoon, flooding, everything. A lot of area you cannot cross because that time you have to walk. So all these areas that are flooded, then there are also problems that come with it because there's a lot of disruption to life form. So the Buddha came to realize that during this period it's very difficult for monks to go out and preach the Dhamma. Then difficult to get food, supply and all those things. Then they might, whether knowingly or unknowingly, cause a lot of accidental death or disruption to all these living things or living the animals and all those things. So he decided to put his period as a period of self-training, self-cultivation. So later on, it became a tradition. They call it the rains retreat. They stay put, meditate, cultivate on their own. Then later on, like Hui Rong came to realize, is it? This is only the tradition of the Theravada teaching or sect. They call it the Nanchuan. In Mahayana Buddhism, they call the Nanchuan means Theravada teaching. Then Peichuan is Mahayana. So they all don't have such thing as rain retreat, because the weather in China is different. But the northern part of China, where they experience severe winter, they call this the adjusted Vasa, which is winter time, around maybe near to December. It's October, November, December, and even until January. Sometimes February is the coldest Chinese New Year time. So these are the adjustments. But Vasa, according to Huirong, if you understand, even the monsoon and all those things, we may think that it brings about disaster and all those things, but she checked it out from the internet. He said, these are the period, the 4 months, very important period for India, because of the monsoon. The water that is needed for the year come from this monsoon. So they actually understand the importance of this rain period, rainy season. It brings forth a lot of water, but at the same time, it also leads to a lot of disaster. As you can see, the recent earthquake in the Himalayas and other things. Then especially those who visit Ladakh, they will know. During the winter, I tell you, the rain retreat, the whole area that you used to walk across become like a massive, enormous river. And there's a lot of landslide and all those things. A lot of nature's disaster. And a lot of condition change. So this is what Vasa is all about. So now with that, I will read through this, you will understand. Chapter 12. The Buddha start off by saying a Vaga, Mahavaga. He said, free am I from all bonds, whether divine or human. Means whether as a divine being with the spiritual penetration and understanding and perfection, or even as a human being. He is free, completely free, mind liberated from all bond. You too, he said, O Bhikkhu, can be free from all bond. That's why he gives you faith, you will cultivate, because like the Buddha, he also started as a Puttajana, a normal human being, without the understanding. But because of his cultivation, he managed to realize all this. So likewise, he said, O Bhikkhu, you too can be free from all bond. Then the Buddha's beneficent and successful ministry lasted 45 years, from his 35th year until his enlightenment in the 80th year. He served humanity both by example and by precept. Means he practiced what he preached. Throughout the year, he wandered from place to place, at times alone, sometimes accompanied by his disciple, expounding the Dhamma to people and liberating them from the bond of samsara. During the rains retreat, here they call Vasa or Vasana, from July to November, owing to insistent rain, he lived in retirement, as was customary with all ascetics in India in his time. So in ancient time as today, three regular seasons prevail in India. Namely, the Vasana, which is the rainy season, then the Hemanta, winter season, very cold. Then the Gymkhana, which is the hot season. The Vasana or rainy season start in the Adhyamana, Asaha, and extend until Asayuga. That is approximately from middle of July to the middle of November. So during the Vasana period, due to torrential rain, river and stream usually get flooded, road get inundated, communication get interrupted, and people, as a rule, are confined to their homes and village, and live on what provision they have collected during the previous seasons. During this time, the ascetic find it difficult to engage in their preaching tour, wandering from place to place. An infinite variety of vegetable and animal life also appeared to such an extent that people could not move about without unconsciously destroying them. So this is the part. Accordingly, all ascetics, including the disciple of the Buddha, used to suspend their itinerant activity and live in retirement in solitary place. As a rule, the Buddha and his disciple were invited to spend their rains retreat either in a monastery or in a secluded park. Sometimes, however, they used to retire to the forest. During the rains season, people flocked to the Buddha to hear the Dhamma and thus avail themselves of his presence in their vicinity to their best advantage. So this brings about another aspect that Hui Rong just now mentioned, which I forgot to translate. She said, because of the rains retreat, the monks, when they got any question or any problem, they can ask the Buddha, or they can have a session within themselves to discuss all this, brainstorm all this. So if you look at it from cultivation, it will be very beneficial. It's just like we have a retreat 9 days, where we are in silent meditation session. We have our Dhamma sharing, we have our Q&A. So this is where you learn. You are continuously focused on the cultivation, and the environment, the setting, everything is very conducive. That's why you can make full use of retreat. You will benefit tremendously. So rains retreat is even better, because 3 months, sometimes extend to 4 months. But here, the rains retreat, you have not participated in those that are very good ones, you may not understand. But not all places have the conducive environment. I was lucky because in the early years of my training, cultivation, I had the opportunity to go for this. I didn't go for the full rains retreat. I go for the few days before Katina. Then I was there cultivating, following what they do. Then after that, the Katina, there was full of joy, full of understanding. And you really train yourself, the daily mindfulness, everything. Then every day, you like the monk, you follow the chanting, you join the chanting. You get to stay in their kuti. There was one place, my teacher, Achayantra, when we were there was 1 year. I think it was because of our karma, our good karma. We were so surprised when we arrived. Then he knew. He waved to us and he gave instructions. He asked us to wait for him. So his whole sharing finished at about 11 something. Then the rest left. Then he also rested and had some. He normally have a drink and all those things. Then after that, he came and met up with us. I think the two of us, I went with the Uncle Ko. Then he said, tonight, you stay that kuti, the chief disciple's kuti. The one kuti just below his is on the mountain top. Ours is on a tree top, halfway below him. And according to the disciple, they say, underneath his kuti down there were a lot of wild snake, python and all those things, cobra. But when he meditated, he just quiet. And his metta is very powerful. Then when we were there, I think a lot of the Thai people also don't know who is these two lay people. For no reason, he asked the chief disciple to stay down there and let the two of us go on. Then later on, after we left, somebody asked to stay there. No? He said, no, this is for the chief disciple. That's why we were so lucky. Then they got this Dhamma end. I have told the story earlier on. The Dhamma end really come and wake you up. And you don't understand, you will panic. Because the coat, you know what is a coat or not? The net where we meditate. I tell you, middle of the night, I was fully aware at that time. I suddenly observed something crawling because my head was on one end of the cloth. Then something like the forehead here, very, very slow movement, because I was very mindful. Then I realized, why? I was meditating. How come got this thing there? Then I decide to come out of it and have a look. Then I saw all ants on my side, my cloth, not much, a little bit, mainly come down to my head there. Just want to alert me and wake me up. Then I saw my friend, the Uncle Kua, the whole net, three quarter of the ant all there. Then I need to slowly call him because he was snoring. I said, Uncle Ku, Uncle Ku. Then he suddenly reacted. Oh, what is it? I said, don't panic. I said, slowly, slowly, open your eye. He saw the ants. He shouted. He panicked. I said, don't panic. These are Dhamma ants. Want to wake us up. That time was 3:30 a.m. I said, silence your mind, radiate metta. And you know what happened? Within 10 minutes, the ant all gone. At exactly at 3:45, the monk chanting start. Namo tassa bhagavato. After that, followed by what? Rupang anicchang. That time, all this Dhamma I already understood. So it went in. Then I told my friend, I said, Uncle Ko, we need to go down. He said, so early, 3:45. I said, yeah, that's the time they meditate. That's the time they start with the chanting, the puja, everything. We should go down. So he followed. Then the next morning, we met the chief disciple. You know what he asked me? He said, how was your sleep? I said, good. Did the ants come? I tell you, that was what he asked. I said, yeah, beautiful Dhamma ends. He said, Sahatu. He said, no wonder Acharya Yantra put you up there. So he knew, he knew. So that was the sidetrack a bit. I need to rush a bit. Okay, we go direct to the first year. Okay, first year, like Hui Rong say, he proclaimed the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. He was with the five ascetics. Then after that, during that time, he spent the first rain retreat at this deer park called Isipatana near Benares. There was no special building where he could reside. So Yasa's conversion also took place during this retreat. Then second, third, and fourth year, he was at Rajagangha. Rajagangha was the capital of the kingdom of Magadha, where the king Bimbisara rules. When the Buddha visited the king in accordance with the promise made by him, before he became fully enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he went to this kingdom, and the king met him, and the king knew he is different, so asked him, who are you? He said, I'm the king of the father tribe. He said, I have left the palace, I have gone for the holy life. So as a samana or cultivator, he happened to pass by. So this king was very good. He said, you are most welcome. He said, but please remember, when you become enlightened, visit me. I will honor you. So he really fulfilled that promise. That's why the promise made by him before his enlightenment. Then after that, the king offered his bamboo grove, Veluvana, to the Buddha and his disciple. And this was an ideal solitary place for monks, as it was neither too far or too near the city. Then he spent three more rains retreat there, in this quiet place. Then the fifth year was at Vasali. During this year, while he was residing in the pinnacle hall at Mahavana near Vasali, he heard of the impending death of King Suddhodana, and repairing to his death chamber, preached the Dhamma to him. Immediately, the king attained arahantship. See? Dying. And the Buddha just come and talk to him, preach to him. For 7 days thereafter, he experienced the bliss of emancipation, means Nibbana bliss. And Parinibbana passed away after that. So not difficult. You don't have to be in the cross-legged position, sitting and doing all the funny thing. No, when you are really silent, we are at the moment of death because of his parami. And if I'm not wrong, this King Suddhodana is his father, I think. Yeah, is it his father? I think it's his father. So it was in this year that the Bhikkhuni order was founded, Mahapajapati. So there was a story. After the cremation of the king, when the Buddha was temporarily residing in Naroda, Rama, Mahapajapati approached the Buddha and begged permission for a woman to enter the order. The Buddha refused and returned to the pinnacle hall at Rajagaha. Then Mahapajapati Gotami was so intent on renouncing the world that she, accompanied by many Sakyan and Koliya ladies, walked all the way from Kapilavatu to Rajagaha, and through the intervention of Venerable Ananda, succeeded in entering the order. Then the 6th year he was at Mangkula Hill at Kosambi. This one he performed the twin miracle, as explained by Hui Rong. Then the 7th year was best. He was at this Tawatinsa heaven, heaven of the 33 gods. You know, Tawatinsa is one level above the Chakuma Raja. So this is Tawatinsa. Then above it is Tusita heaven. A few days after the birth of Prince Siddhartha, the mother, Queen Maha Maya, died and was born as a deva in the Tusita heaven. So in his 7th year, during the three rains retreat, the Buddha preached the Abhidhamma, the higher teaching, to the devas of the Tawatinsa heaven, where the mother deva repaired to hear him. Daily he went to earth and gave a summary of his sermon to Venerable Sariputta, who in turn expounded the same teaching detail to his disciple. What is embodied in the present Abhidhamma Pitaka is supposed to be this detailed exposition of the teaching by the Buddha in the Tawatinsa line. It is stated that on hearing this discourse, the deva, who was his mother, attained the first stage of sainthood. Then the 8th year, he was at this Sumara rock in the Baga district, Basakala forest. The book never write anything about that. He just mentioned where he was. Then the 9th year was at Kosambi. This was the interesting story that Hui Rong was trying to explain to you. So this one is very interesting. It was in this year that Magandhya harbored a lot of grudges against the Buddha and sought his opportunity, an opportunity to dishonor him. So Magandhya was a very beautiful maiden. Her parents would not give her in marriage as a prospective suitor. In their opinion, were not worthy of their daughter. So like Hui Rong say, they believe their daughter is beyond all the suitors. But one day, as the Buddha was surveying the world, he perceived the spiritual development of the parents. Out of compassion for them, he visited the place where the father of the girl was tending the sacred fire. The Brahmin, fascinated by his physical appearance, because of the hallmark, 32 hallmark and the 8 the minor characteristic, thought that he was the best person to whom he could give his daughter in marriage, and requesting him to stay there until his arrival, hurried home to bring his daughter. The Buddha, in the meantime, stamped his footprint on that spot and moved to a different place. The Brahmin and his wife, accompanied by their daughter, who was dressed in her best garment, came to that spot and observed the footprint. The wife, who was conversant, means very good in interpreting this footprint sign said that it is not the footprint of an ordinary man, but of a pure person who has eradicated all passion. The Brahmin ridiculed the idea and, noticing the Buddha at a distance, offered his daughter out to him. The Buddha, describing how he overcame his passion and became enlightened, said, having seen tanha, you know what is tanha, craving, arati and raga, lust and other things, I have no pleasure for the pleasure of love. What is this body filled with urine? And he used the word dung, D-U-N-G, it's supposed to be shit. I should not be willing to touch it, even with my foot. If you are the daughter, how you feel? So hearing this Dhamma, the parent, the Brahmin and his wife, straight away become anagami. So I repeat, your try. You must have this parami, because the Buddha saw in the past, they cultivate before. They already put in the hard work, now you think so easy. Come on in, straight away awaken. Like this, like you ask me how I understand all this. I cannot tell you, I never learned this life. The moment I hear, I understand. Oh. So a lot of these things is from your past parami. And a lot of the saying in the teaching, when I read them, my nature knew. If I were to hear this, my nature also will awaken. Well, time is up. I need to hurry a bit. So hearing his Dhamma, the Brahmin attained the third stage of sainthood, anagami. But proud Magandhya felt insulted, and she thought to herself, if this man has no need of me, it is perfectly proper for him to say so. But he described me as full of urine and shit. Very well, by virtue of birth, lineage, social position, wealth, and the charm of you that I possess, I shall find a husband who is my equal, and then I shall know what ought to be done to this monk, Gotama. That's how he developed the grudges. And this is also because of karmic. He got the condition to do that. Then, enraged by the word of the Buddha, she conceived a hate towards him. Later, she was married to the king of Udina. Taking advantage of her position as one of the royal consort, she bribed people and instigated them to revel and drive the Buddha out of the city. When the Buddha entered the city, they shouted at him, saying, you are a thief, a simpleton, a fool, a camel, an ox, an ass, a denizen of hell, abyss. You have no hope of salvation. A state of punishment is all that you can look forward to. Wow, Ananda said, he told the Buddha, like what Hurong said, how can we stay? Then the Buddha asked Ananda, where shall we go, Ananda? Asked the Buddha, to some other city, Lord, said Ananda. If men revel us there, then where shall we go? Inquired the Buddha. To steal another city, Lord, said Ananda. Ananda, one should not speak thus. He reprimanded Ananda. Where a difficulty arises, you must learn how to solve your problem this way. Right there should it be settled. Understand? You cannot run away. Only under those circumstances is it permissible to go elsewhere. Not until you resolve it then that you better don't run away. Otherwise you cannot develop the wisdom to free. But who are revealing you, Ananda? Questioned the Buddha. Lord, everybody is revealing us, slave and all, replied Ananda. Acknowledging Venerable Ananda, to cultivate patience, the Buddha said, then he teach him how to become patient. So this part was very interesting. And according to the story, he said, he predicted to Ananda, he said, again he addressed Venerable Ananda and said, be not disturbed, he said, means maintain clarity of mind, have understanding, have patience. This man will revel you only for 7 days. And on the eighth day, they will become silent. A difficulty encountered by the Buddha lasts no longer than 7 days. So this one was, I think, added in by the commentaries. So what Hui Rong say, it could be true, not necessarily 7 days. Like the Chincha incident, I think it lasted 3 months. It was not 7 days. But this one the Buddha knew was 7 days. Yeah, this coming was very light. Understand? But the Chincha one was very heavy. You know, when he was young in certain life, you know what he did, you know? As a kid, he didn't know anything. The one who came, Pinnapana, the monk, he was a Pacheka Buddha. He didn't know. He abused him, he scolded him. Then he put sand on his butt. That's why he couldn't. But he knew. This one, if you are patient, that's why I used to share with you, if you have the Dhamma, no matter what happened, what is the advice? Don't panic. Don't stir. Maintain right view to accept things as they are. Then when you do that, your mind has clarity. Then you ask yourself, what are your options? How can you move? How can you resolve all this amicably? You need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. You need to repent. Repent. Then you need to invoke power more. You invoke. The most important thing is, when you do all this, you don't stir your mind. You don't create karmic negativity for all this karmic friction to become more and more intense, more and more severe. You don't believe me, you try. Straight away you will reverse. Because karma is such, I came to realize after my recent life's cultivation when I started. Where this understanding was with my nature, very funny. When I just accept the reality, at peace, I don't react, I don't stir. I accept because I know there are causes and conditions behind. So straight away I maintain hatefulness. If I need to repent, I repent. Then do you know what happened? Karma is when it has no more power over you, it can no longer condition you into suffering and misery. Straight away it will reverse. Then after that, everything reverse. Then I realize, oh, beautiful. No need to do anything. Because the moment you stir, react, that is how the negative condition arises for negative karma to continue to have power over you. Then the more it torments you, karma becomes more fierce. They enjoy tormenting you until you wake up. So this is what the teaching is all about. We should end. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we still got Hui Rong for the next session. We should thank Hui Rong again. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She did a very good sharing. She looked up internet and add in her own views, opinion and understanding. Then he asked you all. The only thing is some of you doesn't understand Mandarin. So after my translation, is it clearer? Clearer or not? Otherwise, I don't need to translate. Okay, let us share merit and transfer merits with all beings. We start by sharing merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana etta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Buddhang Pujjayami. Dhammang Pujjayami. Sanghang Pujjayami.